What is this? Do you know what this is called in English? I'll tell you. It's called a potato masher. You need a potato masher to improve your English pronunciation. Let me explain. First, let me ask you a question, okay? Look at this beautiful, delicious bowl of mashed potatoes. How many potatoes do you think are in here? How many potatoes are in here? We don't know, right? Maybe two, three, four, five, six. We don't know because they're all just mashed together, right? We used our potato masher and we just mashed them together. So the English language, sorry, I just bumped my microphone. I'll try to keep my hands off my microphone. Are we recording? Yes, we are. Thank you guys for joining me in another lesson here at Mad English TV. So the English language, it's sort of just mashed together. Okay, and we're gonna look at some examples, okay? Now, I was listening to the news the other day. Maybe I should put my masher down here so I don't hit something. I was listening to the news in English, and a native English speaker was talking about the world news. Now, there's a country that's making a lot of news these days, and that is the country of Iran. Okay, now this guy on the news, he was speaking English, he was a native English speaker, and he said this word. There's a name of someone, an Iranian guy. A lot of people view this guy as the king of Iran. Do you know how to pronounce his name? So the guy I was listening to on the news, he pronounced it Pahlavi. Pahlavi. Okay. Some other native English speakers say Pahlavi. Pahlavi. Okay, so this is the king's name. His name is this. The native English speaker said Pahlavi. King Reza Pahlavi. Okay, now it was funny for me because I have some Iranian friends, so I know how they pronounce it in Farsi, right? Their language, the language in Iran is called Farsi. At least that's the main language. There are other languages as well, but so in Farsi, the way people pronounce this is like Pahlavi, Pahlavi, King Reza Pah. It's like they give some. There's like a break here. Pahlavi, Pahlavi. So when I hear it, it sounds like almost like three words. Pahlavi. Okay, it's really split up. Each syllable gets a stress. Pahlavi. Okay, so this shows us that there is some difference between Farsi and English. Okay, so when I hear Farsi speakers speak English, it sounds like this. Okay, it sounds very kind of jagged, and you clearly have independent pieces, right? You have these different peaks of the mountain. You got a big one here. Most Farsi words have a stress right at the beginning, you know? Pah Levi, or I have a friend named Farzad. Farzad, okay? Farzad. In English, we might say Farzad or Farzad, but they put a lot of emphasis at the beginning. Farzad, okay? So farz, so it's they put a stress here at the beginning, but then there are other stresses in the words as well. So this is what it looks like when I hear Farsi or when I hear Iranians speaking English. But this is what it looks like when native English speakers speak English. It just sounds like, a little bit more. A little bit more like mashed together, right? We don't have all the different jagged peaks Right? A good word to describe these different mountain peaks is jagged. This is a mountain with many jagged peaks. Jagged means like sharp and like pointy, jagged. Okay. Well, with English, you know, it looks more like we took a potato mash and we just kind of just mashed it into one lump. Okay. So that's why the native English speaker on the news said Pahlavi, 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 right? Now this becomes more noticeable when we have words that are a bit longer, that have like several syllables. Okay, so how would you pronounce this word? Think about it in your mind or try to say it out loud. How would you pronounce it? I'll tell you. It's responsibility. Responsibility. Okay, the stress is over here. Responsibility. But a lot of Iranians and other people in the world, they would put the stress on the first syllable. They say responsibility, responsibility, right? So it's like more jagged, got like more stresses all in the word. Responsibility. But that's not how we say it in English. We say responsibility, responsibility. Okay. So this isn't just with Farsi speakers. This is with basically almost all the languages in the world are more jagged than English. Okay, so if you think about all the different languages, and we're going to talk about Chinese in a few minutes, they look like this. But in English, you know, English is not like this. English is just a little bit more lazy. It's a bit more mashed down like this. Okay, so let's take a word like America. America. Okay? America. America. The way people in Iran say America, they say America. America. Okay? America. So many syllables. It's like really jagged, right? Well, listen to how I'm saying it. America. America. Okay. America. Some people in the U.S., they don't even say the A at the beginning. They just say America, America, America. Okay. Or let's take a word like United States. Okay. I say United States. People in Iran or other parts of the world, they would say United State. United State. Okay. United State. Remember, with the country name United States, you need the S. United States, right? United States. United States. So you can see what I'm saying here with this potato masher, right? We don't want to be able to hear each different part of the word. You don't want to be able to count the potatoes. I mean, yeah, we can. Right? If we think about it, for example, the word responsibility, we can think, okay, responsibility. We've got a lot of syllables. Wow. A lot. Responsibility. But when we say the word, we don't really hear the clear breaks in the word. We just say responsibility. All of them kind of flow together. But when, you know, Farsi speakers or other people, when they say responsibility, they say each syllable like its own word, responsibility. So my tip is to get a potato masher and just start mashing the word together. So that's all just kind of one piece. It's just one big lump of word. Yeah, so you're not counting the different potatoes. You're just mashing them all together. Let's talk about Chinese for a second, okay? Chinese, in a way, is a bit similar in that Chinese is made up of little pieces. You got these little pieces of sounds. For example, in English, you know, I would say, "Hi, my name is Mark." "Hi, my name is Mark." Well, in Chinese, it would be "Ni hao, wo jiao ma ke." "Ni hao, 我叫马克. Okay? So in English, my name is Mark. In Chinese, it's 马克. Right? Kind of separates it into two pieces. 马克. Two distinct sounds. Okay? And each sound gets like its own stress. And you know, that's probably why Chinese people are good fighters. That's why they're good at karate, right? Xing zhang wang bang zhong. It's because their language is like that, right? They use, like karate, if you just imagine what karate looks like, it sounds like it looks the way Chinese sounds, right? Just imagine karate guy. Xing zhang wang bang zhong. You know, you got these pieces of sounds. And that's why when you hear Chinese people speak English, it sounds like this. You got these pieces, right? So for example, they might say, you want chicken dumpling. You want chicken dumpling. Okay. In English, I would say, do you want some chicken dumplings? You want some chicken dumplings? Okay, so let's take the words chicken dumplings, okay? Chicken dumplings. Chicken dumplings. Okay, the way Chinese people might say it is chicken dumpling. Chicken dumpling. Right, so each one, it's like, right? You got these pieces. And this is, so I just gave you examples of Farsi and Chinese, but a lot of languages in the world are kind of like this, where you have different small jagged pieces. So what do we need to do? If you want to improve your English pronunciation, English isn't this exciting, guys. English is more boring. It's more just mashed together. So take a potato masher and just, like for example, if you're a Chinese person or you're a Farsi speaker or something, just get a potato masher and just try to take your English words and just kind of just mash them together, right? Chicken dumplings, right? America, United States. Ni hao, wo jiao ma ke. Right? If I started speaking Chinese, I would probably become a karate master. Because I would just, my brain would switch into this mode. Ching wo jiao bang zhong bong. You know, just like, you know, does that make sense? Like English, like white people, like English speakers like me, we're not good fighters. Why? Because our language is like this. Imagine fighting like this, right? Imagine an English speaker were fighting a Chinese guy. And I go fight the Chinese guy with my potato masher, right? And the Chinese guy's got his, like, cool moves and stuff like that. I wouldn't stand a chance, guys. Or against, like, Iranians. Iranians are good fighters. Man, have you ever seen the Olympics? Every single Olympics, there's one country that always wins the weightlifting stuff. And any, like, powerlifting, it's always the Iranian guys. They win gold medal. And all the different kind of lifts, and they're massive guys. Have you seen those Iranian bodybuilders? Their arms are like that big. It's crazy. So imagine I go fight an Iranian guy with my little potato masher. Hey, stay away from me. That's why English is not a good fighting language. It doesn't sound very intimidating. All right. So if you listen to a Chinese guy, chung wang bong, you know, it sounds like more, you know, it sounds like more intense. It looks like this. English looks like this. Okay, so that's my tip number one. Mash your English. Mash it together. Just to make it kind of like bland. Mashed potatoes is a food that tastes very bland. It's boring. It's, you know, it's all just kind of one lump of potato. Right. So that's my first tip, potato masher. Now, my second tip is don't assume that you know which syllable gets the stress. Okay? Because in English, syllables matter a lot. And usually words have one stressed syllable. It's more like the hill, right? If we go back and we look at this, if we look at the hill, right? This is a word in English. It has a stress, and that's important. But it's not like, it's just one stress. It's not like multiple, you know, stresses like this. Okay? So if you want to become more native-like in your English pronunciation, make the word look like this. Bring it down, but notice that there is a stress, and the stress could be at the beginning of the word, in the middle of the word, or at the end of the word. Okay? So what I'm saying is, and this is tip number two, don't assume that you know which syllable gets the stress. Okay? So a lot of people make mistakes in this. I just told you the word responsibility, right? The stress is over here, responsibility. But a lot of people just assume that the stress is over here. Responsibility. No, that's wrong. That's a wrong assumption. In English, there are thousands of words, maybe millions of words. You don't know which syllable is going to get the stress, okay? And now there are some patterns. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But recognize that many words in English have the stress at the beginning. Many words have the stress in the middle somewhere. Some words might have the stress at the end. Okay, so there's a lot of different kinds of words in English. So don't think you know. Okay, now if you don't know, you can ask someone, which syllable gets the stress in the word responsibility? Okay, so remember this question and you can ask native speakers. Excuse me, Mark, can I ask you an English question? Which syllable gets the stress in the word? Which word would you like to know, guys? Let me know down in the comments. Okay, so let's take a look at these words. How do you pronounce this word? Well, this word gets the stress on the first syllable. It's mandatory. Mandatory. Mandatory means something you have to do, right? If you're a student, you know, you need to do exams. It's mandatory. Exams are a mandatory part of your education, right? So mandatory. A lot of people make the mistake, they might say mandatory. Like probably Farsi speakers would say mandatory. But just put stress on every one of them. Mandatory. Okay, that's how Farsi sounds, and that's how Farsi speakers sound when they speak English. Mandatory. But recognize, what do we need to do? We need to bring it all together. We need to mash the word so that it's literally like one piece with one stressed syllable. Okay, so the word is mandatory. Okay, now what about this word? Which syllable gets the stress? Beginning. We have three syllables, right? The answer is the middle one gets the stress. Beginning. Picture the hill. It's not the, let's say beginning. So the stress is not over here. Beginning. No, it's beginning. Beginning. Does that make sense? What about this word here? This word is referendum. Okay. A lot of people make the mistake. A lot of English learners. Native English speakers don't usually make mistakes in the pronunciation of words, although sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we see a new word that's not very common. We might not know how to pronounce it. But with common words like these, native English speakers don't make mistakes in the pronunciation of these because they know which syllable gets the stress. I mean, they don't think about it. We just know how to say the words, right? Because it's our language. But a lot of English learners would say referendum, referendum. Okay, a referendum is when the people in a country vote, when all the people have a chance to vote in a on something, right? It's called a referendum. So guys, stressing the wrong syllable makes you, well, it makes your English painful to listen to. I want to keep this video under an hour. I'm going to keep track of time here, guys. So here's the thing. Stressing the wrong syllable makes your English very painful to listen to. So when I'm listening to people and they're talking for a long time and they're always putting the stress on the wrong parts of the words, it makes you tired to listen to. It makes native English speakers tired. It's hard to try to understand because your brain has to work harder to try to understand what the person is saying. Okay, so this is syllables, and stressing the right syllable is really important. It's a very important part of the language. So remember, English words typically have one syllable and it's somewhere in the word, beginning or in the middle or maybe at the end. Okay, it doesn't have multiple stresses. Does that make sense? So just take the picture of the mountain, the jagged peaks, and make it into this. This is what you're aiming for. Okay, and how do you do it? You use a potato masher. You mash it down as one, just a big blob of bland mashed potatoes. Okay, now what about this word? How do you pronounce this word? Well, if you go to Southeast Asia, countries like Indonesia or the Philippines or Thailand, they say city, city, city. Okay, so they're saying it like almost like two words, city, city, both equal pronunciation, city, city. Well, in English, remember, it's just one stress syllable. So which one is it? Is it this one or is it this one? The answer is, it's the first one, city, 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 city. Okay, can you hear that? City. It's not city, 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 city. So remember, we're taking our masher and we're just kind of making it like more bland. City, 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 city. Okay? Now, here's tip number three. The same word could be stressed differently depending on whether it's a noun or a verb, or maybe some other part of speech, like an adjective or something like that, okay? So, the same word, sometimes English words are exactly the same, but they could be used in as different parts of speech. For example, nouns, verbs, adjectives, etc. Look at this word. How do you say it? How do you pronounce this word? Well, it depends on whether it's a noun or a verb. Okay? If it's a noun, the stress is on the first syllable. If it's a verb, the stress is on the second syllable. And there are hundreds and hundreds of words like this in English that are made up of two syllables. And it could either be a noun or a verb. And very often, if it's a noun, the stress is on the first syllable. If it's a verb, the stress is on the second syllable. But not all the time. There are lots of exceptions. Okay? So, but let's just look at this word for a second. Contest. Contest. If it's a noun, the stress is on the first syllable. Look at this. I won the contest. Right, I won the contest. Let's say you and me are having a contest to see who can eat the most dumplings in 1 minute. All right, so we go to a Chinese restaurant and We set the timer. Okay, you start, eat, well, maybe with the chopsticks or something, you start eating your dumplings, and then see how many you get. And then I go and I see how many I can get. Whoever wins the prize, wins the contest. Okay, that's a contest. You and me, we had a contest, and you won. I'm not great at using chopsticks, guys. I know how to use chopsticks. So, contest, right? Now look at this sentence. He contested the election results. He contested the election results. This is a verb. Contest. Contest. Okay. What does this mean? This means that he does not believe the election result was right. He doesn't agree with this. Right? This is a common thing in many countries where they have elections. And then there's maybe a person or bumped my microphone again. There's a person or a group of people that say, no, that's wrong. That was a rigged election, or though that wasn't fair. There were some voting irregularities or something like that. It's like, we contest the election. That means you oppose it. You're against it. Contest, to contest something. Okay. So you can see how the pronunciation is important here. Because if we say he contested the election results, this would be very painful to listen to for a native English speaker. Like if you are speaking English and you say you put the stress on the first syllable here, he contested the election results. It's almost impossible to understand. Right? So you need to get the stress right. If we could put both words in the same sentence, okay? He always contests contests. Okay? He always contests contests. So this is the verb and this is the noun. Okay? If you and me go to a fair, let's say, and we're doing different we're going around doing different contests and seeing, who wins. Maybe let's imagine I always lose, right? Then I would say, I always contest, or he always contests. I always contest the contest results. Like if, let's imagine we're at a fair and they've got those different games and something. Maybe you're throwing, maybe you need to pop balloons by throwing darts or something, And I say, I didn't lose. You cheated. You cheated. It was not fair. Something wasn't fair, right? That means I'm contesting the contest, right? So we could make a sentence like this. And how do you know which is the noun and which is the verb? Well, you just need to kind of know how the English language works. We can predict that this is going to be the verb here, right? Here we got this, the subject of the sentence, he. He always, and we know that a verb is going to come here, right? So if you know that a word is going to be a verb, just remember the pronunciation. Remember to pay attention to the pronunciation. It might not be the way it is if it's a noun, if it's a verb or a noun, right? So you need to read this sentence correctly. You have to say he always contests contests. If you would get it mixed up and you say he always contests contests, that wouldn't make any sense. Nobody would understand what you're trying to say. He always contests the contest. He always contests contests. He always contests. What? That doesn't make any sense. It's painful to listen to. You just want to rip your ears off and, So this is really important, guys. The stress of words. Let's look at another word. How do you pronounce this word? This word is insult. If it's a noun, the stress is on the first syllable, insult. If it's a verb, the stress is on the second syllable, insult. Insult. Okay? Look at this. He gave me an insult. He gave me an insult. That means bad words, right? If I say, you're fat, you're ugly, you're so bad at speaking English, right? Those are insults. Insult. He gave me an insult. But look at this. He insulted me. He insulted me. Here it's a verb. Okay? We can't say he insulted me. He insulted me. He insulted me. Stress is on the second syllable. Here's another example. How do you say this word? Well, is it a noun or a verb? Both. Okay, look at this. England has a bad record in penalty shootouts. Okay, if you like watching soccer, if you like watching the World Cup soccer, which is coming in a few months here in Canada, 2026 World Cup, England has a bad record in penalty shootouts. Okay, this is a noun. Now, what about a verb? I recorded a new song today. I recorded. And that means I take my microphone and I ring, ding, 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 ding. I'm recording. I press play and I'm recording. Recording. I can't say I'm recording a new song today. I'm recording. No, I'm recording. Right? So it's really important to get the stress right. Now, here's tip number four. Learn patterns. There are patterns in the English language. For example, look at this. Words ending in the shun sound have the stress on the penultimate syllable. Okay? The penultimate syllable is the syllable that is second from last. Okay? The second from last. How are we doing for time? I'm going to try to get this done in 10 minutes from now, guys. That's my goal. Okay. So the word penultimate means second from last. So look at this here. This is the last syllable. Let's say this is a word, right? This we've got a bunch of syllables. This one's the last one. The second from last is the penultimate syllable. Okay? So let's look at some examples. Vacation, extension, education, suspicion. Okay, all these, the stress is on the penultimate syllable. And now notice, the sound shun can be spelled different ways. Here we've got a T, shun. Here we got S, shun. Here we got a C, shun. All the same shun sound, they're just spelled differently. Welcome to English. Doesn't make any sense, guys. Sometimes English just mash it all. Sometimes people, even with spelling, they just mash their spelling all together, but it's a good idea to learn how to spell words. Okay, so just practice spelling. You can go online and do spelling practice or something. So vacation, extension, education. So notice it doesn't matter how many syllables we have on this side, the stress is on the second from last. Okay, suspicion. Okay. Second from last. So we could make up any word. Let's say we make up this word. Marcusnization. Okay? So we just made up a new word. And look at all these syllables here. We got this, so many syllables here. Well, the stress is going to be on this syllable. Why? Because the sound here. Because of this sound shun, we know the stress is going to be here. Marcusnization. Okay? Do you like my new word, guys? I just made it up. Words ending in itty. Okay, so here's another pattern. Words ending in itty, in the itty sound have the stress on the antepenultimate syllable. The antepenultimate, what does that mean? That means the third from last. Antepenultimate. Can you say that? Antepenultimate. So, here's our word. Lot of syllables. Last. Second last, which is the penultimate. Here we have the antepenultimate syllable. Third from last. Okay? Here are some examples. Electricity, sensitivity, nativity, enmity. Now notice, This word here, enmity, only has three syllables. So which one gets the stress? The first one, right? Enmity, because this is one, two, three. So it just happens to be this is the first one. Enmity, nativity, sensitivity, electricity. Okay, so there's a pattern, right? Now, what about this word, city? It also ends in itty. So that means we need to count backwards to the third. So here's the ultimate. Here's the last one, which is the ultimate. And then we've got the penultimate and the antepenultimate. But there's no word here. We don't even have an antepenultimate syllable. So what do? Then we're forced to put the stress right here on this one. Okay, there's no more word over here to put it on, right? So we have to say city, okay? But look at this one. Here we have the word city. Propensity, okay? So there it is, another pattern, guys. Now, guys, I just want to mention something. Native speakers sometimes differ in their pronunciation, okay? So sometimes two native English speakers might say a word differently. That's common. Here's an example. I say this word kilometer. But so I put the stress on the antepenultimate syllable. Antepenultimate. Can you say that? Antepenultimate. So which word that would be? The O. Right? One, two, three. Kilometer. But some native English speakers put the stress on the pre-antepenultimate syllable. And that's a four back. Okay, that's a wait. One, two, three, four. Here we got the ultimate, the penultimate, the antepenultimate, and the pre-antepenultimate. Wow, that's a mouthful. If something's hard to say, you can say that's a mouthful. Okay, so how would they pronounce it? Some native English speakers say kilometer. But I say kilometer. Okay? Now, guys, you might be wondering, what if we'd have the stress five back? All right, so here we got the ultimate, penultimate, antepenultimate, pre-antepenultimate. What's this one? Are there any words like that in English? Yeah. It's called the propriantepenultimate. The propriantepenultimate. Can you say that? Propriantepenultimate. So what's an example of a word like this? I'll give you an example. Minimalism. Okay? Min. First, minimalism. Minimalism. That's a lot of minimalism. Five syllables. Then we've got a propriantepenultimate. That's a hard word. Propriantepenultimate. Wow. That's cool. You can go tell your friends. Today I learned about pronunciation of a propriantepenultimate syllable. Right? So here's another example. Cannibalism. Now, cannibalism means when a species eats members of its own species. Okay? Now, unfortunately, there are parts of the world, I think even today, or at least in the past, where humans did this. Humans ate their own species. That's crazy. But some animals do this, like spiders, for example. I think, so maybe spiders eat each other, eat each the same species. Like if a spider eats a mosquito, that's not cannibalism. That's normalism. Is that a word, normalism? But if you eat your own species, that's cannibalism. Does that make sense? Now, in business or technology, you often hear this word too, cannibalism. It means when a company sells a product that competes with its own product. Okay, so here's some iPhones, right? Here, Apple's iPhone lineup. We got the iPhone 17, iPhone Air, iPhone this one, Well, this one's the 17 Pro. This one's the normal 17. And they still sell the iPhone 16. Now, all of these phones are different from each other. Okay? Because they attract different buyers. Now, imagine if let's say they made this one. See, this one has two cameras. This one only has two cameras. This one has three cameras. Ooh, that's sweet. Right? So if you want the three cameras, you got to go for this one. Now, imagine if they were to put this one, if they were to make this one also with three cameras. Well, then the cheap one would be too similar to the expensive one. And that would cannibalize this one. So this one, the sales of this one would eat the sales of this one. Because they would be too close, right? So that's what cannibalism means in a business with products. If a company makes products that eat its own products, most of the time companies, they don't want that. They don't want that, right? That's why if we see all these iPhones, they're different prices. They're different. I don't know. They're just different, right? So guys, time for homework. Did I make it in 10 minutes? I hope so. What do you find most challenging about English pronunciation? Let me know if you'd like me to make more videos about English pronunciation. I have a whole series on my channel. The link is down there in the description. It's called English Pronunciation Playlist or something. So, but I want to know, which aspect of English pronunciation do you find the hardest? Let me know down there in the comments. Guys, hope you're doing great today. As always, I love you very much. Have a great day wherever you are. And I'll see you over in the next episode of Mad English TV. Take care.